with the Community Senate Committee and Regional Affairs Committee. I'm Senator Gary Stevens. With us today, Senator Stedman and Senator Ellis, as well as Representative Newman. And we may have a few other members of the House come to our committee meeting. Today we're dealing with the Ardor Bill, Senate Bill number 77, Act extending the termination date of the Ardor program. Several people that would like to speak to us. We'll begin with Winnetta Ayers. Thanks, Winnetta. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Winnetta Ayers. I'm the executive director for the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. We represent the Pribilof Islands, the Aleutian Chain, Alaska Peninsula, Bristol Bay, and Kodiak. It's a great opportunity to be here today to talk to you about the progress of the Ardor program. And I think many of you have probably received the annual report that I think was just being circulated today to most of you. But it outlines the accomplishments of the 11 Ardor programs around the state. And, you know, they're all very different organizations and have different programs, and I think that's one of the beauties of the Ardor program is that it has the flexibility for the Ardors to develop into the kind of organization and program that's needed in each region. It details how each Ardor is involved in areas like business retention and expansion, workforce development, market development, infrastructure development, and economic planning and research. Since the last reauthorization, one of the things that the Ardors have worked on collectively is developing a tiered funding formula that provides a financial incentive for those Ardors that are able to develop organizational capacity, to develop local funding, and to grow their program in the areas of economic development. Basically, the way the formula works is all certified Ardors participate in the first 70% of the funds that are available. Then those that achieve the second tier of criteria participate in the next 20%. And then those that achieve the third level of criteria participate in the last 10%. So it's a reward for the ability to develop more funding from your local community, growing your organization's capacity to do economic development, and then implementing your regional economic development strategy. The Ardor program in general in this last year, for every $1 in state investment, generated an additional $8 in either local, private sector, federal, or earned income monies for economic development in the state. And essentially, what I have to tell you is that the Ardor program and the 11 Ardor organizations are tools in the state's economic development toolbox. We think that there's great opportunity not only in the direction that the Ardors are already working in, but also in expanding the partnership between the state and the Ardors to develop a comprehensive statewide economic development strategy and to continue to work on improving the economic situation and the quality of life throughout Alaska. So that's all I have for you today. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Ayers. Could you, I think the leveraging issue is an extremely important one. On page 2 of our booklet is a little chart of that. Can you explain that to us, walk us through that so we know how that leveraging works and where that additional money comes from for our...
Let me make sure I'm on the right page, too. okay. So what the department does is look at our abilities to generate funds, as I said, from local municipalities, from the private sector. Again, each Ardor is different and has different funding sources. Swampsea, for example, we have municipal participation by each municipality pays 50 cents per person. That's our dues formula for our municipalities. And then we also have associate members from the private sector who pay a flat dollar fee. But every Ardor is different. Not every Ardor has membership. So they may have a tax base in their local community, or they may have, you know, some other mechanism. It's all, again, a fairly unique situation that you develop the funding formula that's working for you in your community. So, again, for the way this works is that in total, all of the Ardors have a combined budget of approximately $5.5 million. state's investing $650,000 in the program, and that's an 8-to-1 leverage of state dollars.
Okay, thank you. And so I haven't added this up, but the ARDER grant, other state funds, and then the non-state funds, does that all total up to the $5.4 million? And in-kind contributions are not counted there. So. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ayers. Appreciate that. Any questions, Ms. Ayers? Yes, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for being here today. Appreciate it. A constituent of mine, former State Senator Arla Sturgill-Lewski, was one of the original architects of the ARDER program, and she's talked to me about this. I was supportive before. I just want to pay a little tribute to Arla's work and foresight and vision in this area. My question is really about federal funds that come to, and I guess I'm like all Alaskans, I'm very appreciative of Senator Ted Stevens' ability to bring my federal tax dollars home to Alaska, far out of proportion to our population, and we're very fortunate in that regard. But according to news reports, there are oftentimes when even his staff can't explain what some of the appropriations are for at the outset. Maybe later on they've cleared up some of the confusion, and a lot of local groups, economic development groups, recreation groups are sort of stunned, happily surprised that they got big chunks of money, but wonder what it was for, or say, we didn't ask for it, but Senator Stevens has given us this money. And I think some of those confusions have been cleared up. But I'm wondering, what it raises with me is the question of maybe better coordination in the future with economic development organizations, or I know recreation organizations are beyond your purview, but have you ever had that experience where money, federal money showed up? Or is there a system for coordination with Senator Stevens on these appropriations?
Well, I think that largely we look to the Denali Commission for that function, but I can tell you that actually Swampsea has been the unknowing beneficiary of one of those kinds of earmarks, but it was to help mitigate $130 million in economic losses in our region because of closure of federal fisheries for a period of time. And so it was definitely an 11th-hour earmark that we were unaware of, really, until it had passed. But we have had some discussions, I can tell you, in the area of, for example, broadband deployment, because we feel that's a really critical piece of infrastructure for economic development. And it does seem that there are multiple streams of federal funds that are coming into the state that are somewhat compartmentalized, and that maybe if they were pooled and looked at a statewide system. And some of you may know that the legislature authorized last year a task force to work on that, and I am on that task force. And that is something that we see as a very critical piece. Even, for example, for small business development, we feel like the state could do a significantly greater outreach and have a better profile for small business by having a one-stop on the web that comes from the market perspective instead of the state government department perspective, because it's easy to get lost if you're looking in multiple departments to try and figure out what is it I have to do, say, to operate a wilderness lodge. You have to talk to DEC, you have to talk to labor, you have to talk to commerce, you have to talk to a lot of folks. And so by having that sort of one-stop concept, we could maybe fix some of that. But your answer, or your question, I think is correct, in that there are multiple streams of federal funds in other situations, too, that maybe could be coordinated better. It's not necessarily, I think, an ARDER function, but it's something that I think we've talked to the Denali Commission about in several situations. So.
No, I want to make the point again that we appreciate the money. Mm-hmm. The federal money coming to Alaska is a wonderful thing. It just seems like maybe more coordination, more communication, more understanding of how it all fits together. Mm-hmm. I think Senator Stevens has a very outstanding vision for the future of our state.
Thank you.
Both Senator Stevens. For all three, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it concerns me that it does seem compartmentalized and lack of communication sometimes, and if we could all work together in a more coordinated fashion, I think we could make better use of those tax dollars.
Through the chair, we do have an embarrassment of riches both in federal funds and Senator Stevens's, so I think that we're lucky on both counts. And I would also just like to say that thanks for invoking Arla Sturgill-Lewski's name, and she's a good mentor to the program, too, and on a number of occasions has met with us in Anchorage and talked to us about what her original vision was. And so we continue to go back to the Oracle on what we should be doing. So.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator Ellis. And for the record, Representative Cisna has joined us, and Representative Cisna and Representative Newman are members of the House Committee on Regional Affairs. We've invited them to attend. I really thank you very much for being here with us. And if you have any questions or comments at all, please let me know. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The tiers that you have the three tiers, the first, second, and third tier. And the first level, what communities, councils are on there?
Currently, the Lower Kuskokwim Economic Development Council is the only ARDA organization that's in the Tier 1 category.
And how about the second level?
I'll try and remember all of them, but I'm not going to do Prince William Sound, Fairbanks North Star Borough, MATSU, RCMD. There's three others.
Yeah. The question that I was going to get, Mr. Chair, is do you have a program to try and help the other councils to get up to more of a level one?
We do. One of the criterion for moving forward is to do a peer review. And in that peer review, the ARDA program manager names a person to sit on a peer review committee. The ARDA that's being reviewed names a person to sit on that committee, and then somebody else from among the ARDA directors volunteers to sit on that committee. And then the ARDA that's being reviewed compiles information about how they feel they're meeting the criteria within the tiers, and then goes through a review, an evaluation process with the peer review committee. And that's intended as a way to help lift everybody up so that they
get
can meet
on the same level.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the irony is that you know, we always say the best possible outcome is that we're all tier three, and then we're all sort of back to, you know, level funding. Then you'll probably ask us, well, why is everybody level funding again? But we'll keep figuring it out as we go.
Thank you. So ARDAs can move between tiers from one tier down or up.
Well,
within those one, two, and three tiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way that Tier 1 works is that you have you're certified as an ARDA, and you have, according to regulations, have 18 months to get your regional economic development strategy in place. And so the way that Tier 1 was structured is that you can only stay there for 2 years. You have to move up. You have to meet the next level of criteria and move into Tier 2. Then in Tier 2, it is possible that you know, based on the resources of your community and the scope of your program, that you could stay into Tier 2 indefinitely. In Tier 3, it does require you to keep growing your program until you're working in all of the four main areas of economic development: business retention and expansion, workforce development, infrastructure, and market development. You have to be working in all four of those areas over a period of time once you move into Tier 3.
Thank you. Now, were you at Swansea when the salmon issue arose in Bristol Bay? Were you there at the time, or was that the other Mr. Stevens?
Well, I've been involved with Swansea either as a contractor or a board member, or now as a staff person for a number of years. So we've actually had a number of salmon issues come up. But are you referring to the
situation in Bristol Bay and the funds that were at the last minute were transferred, and you had to find a way to get those out? That was sort of extraordinary, beyond the scope of what you normally expect a
partner
to do.
Or you might be referring to the Stellar Sea Lion Mitigation Fund. That was $30 million that I was referring to earlier when Senator Ellis asked. So that was more of the Federal Fisheries Act of Mackerel and Pollock. But, you know, the Senator Stevens did name us to help distribute those funds. The other Stevens involved, Wayne Stevens, who was on the Swansea board at the time, was the board chair of Swansea. And the Swansea board devised a plan to distribute that $30 million to mitigate those economic losses. And they did it in less than a year at less than 1% administrative cost. And if you know of other mitigation programs around the state, some of them are still languishing trying to get the money out. So Swansea is rightfully proud of its performance in responding to that challenge. So,
pretty remarkable. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Harris.
Thank you.
Rollo Poole. Oh, I'm sorry. Before, Mr. Poole, do we have former Member. Representative Whitaker, now Mayor Whitaker. Is he on the... Okay, we'll wait and hear from Mayor Whitaker later. Mr. Poole, Rollo Poole.
Okay, we've got Murray Walsh testifying for our board.
Okay, and if you'd come forward and identify yourself, please, and who you represent.
Hi, I'm Murray Walsh. I'm this year's president of Southeast Conference, one of the flagship ARTRs. In my real life, I'm a planning consultant, and I have a pretty close first-hand knowledge of what it takes to get any kind of development going in Alaska. And I think that there's a fair amount of luck involved and a lot of pluck. You really have to have a lot of things come together. And having somebody on the ground whose job it is to look for these opportunities is important. And that, in my mind, and I think most of our minds, is the real reason for the ARTRs to be there. You can do all the studies you want, but sometimes somebody to answer the phone and say, yeah, I can tell you about our region, and here's where this is, and here's who that is. Those are important things to be able to do. And it's not a natural function of local government. So I think it's important that we maintain these services around the state. Now, I Rollo gave me this so I could brag about Southeast Conference, and if you'll indulge me, I'll do that a little. For every dollar we get in ARTR funds, we get about $18 in other funds, including considerable contributions from our own membership. We have a volunteer board. We meet twice a year. Our midwinter summit will be this March, the last week of March, March 22 through 24. It's a big deal. We had 200 attendees last year. We'll be down in the Centennial Hall, and we'll be hanging with you then, too. We have a lot of things going on, but what the ARTR money does for us, it's unrestricted. I mean, you can't go out and buy drinks with it, but you can do a lot of things to help find and business people and set things up. So it's good to have a little bit of money in the program that's unrestricted, and we appreciate that. And that's basically all I came to say. If I can do more or say more or help in any way, I'd be happy to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Any questions? Appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Poole, he's going to speak in. All right.
For me, yeah.
Perfect. All right. Robert Wells. Mr. Wells?
Just here to listen. I represent Matthew
Arthur. Oh, I'm sorry. I see you just listening. Okay. Thank you very much, Robert. Glad you're here. And John Parker as well. You're here to listen. And Murray Walsh, we just heard from you. And Wayne Stevens. Every time you turn over a rock in Juneau, you find out there's Stevens, I heard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Identify yourself, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Wayne Stevens. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. For the record and clarification, I am not related to any of the many other Stevenses around the state other than Vince. Just wanted to relay to you that the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce supports the reauthorization and funding of the Alaska Regional Development Organization Program to engage in economic development planning, strategizing, and implementation through effective public and private sector collaboration on local, regional, and state levels. I submitted a letter earlier, and I believe it's in your packet, and I just wanted to share with you on a personal note that I had the opportunity to serve on the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference Board for many years and was indeed chair of that program 2001 to 2003 during the stellar sea lion mitigation years, and I would point to that as a truly successful program run by an ARTR in mitigating impacts from environmental lawsuits, changes to the regulatory environment that had huge impacts throughout the Southwest region. And for that, I appreciate Senator Stevens, the senior, support and encourage this Senator Stevens and members of the committee to pass Senate Bill 77. Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies.
Mr. Stevens. Could you tell us a little bit more about the Stellar Sea Lion mitigation? That was an extraordinary situation. It's not something that you normally expect as an ARTR, but it sort of wound up in your hands because you volunteered. Is that true? Can you explain that?
Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, we received notification at the close of the session in 2001, I believe, that Senator Stevens had inserted a paragraph, less than 100 words, that said the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference would be awarded $30 million to mitigate stellar sea lion issues related to the closure of the fisheries as a result of the lawsuits brought in Seattle court. There was 100 words in that federal language. There were no thou shalls or thou shall nots accompanying it, and the board had to sit down and say, okay, how do we do this? How do we do it in a fair, equitable, and just manner, recognizing that there are hundreds of millions of dollars worth of impact that we can never mitigate for, that part of the region wasn't necessarily involved, but we wanted to make sure that in the truest sense of we were a regional board, that those non-impacted regions were invited and encouraged to participate in the deliberations. We were able to receive the authorization, the money, and disbursement in just a little over a year. We were in and out. As Ms. Ayers indicated, we did it at less than 1% overhead. It was a tremendous commitment of time on a personal basis for all of the board members who participated, and we did distribute $30 million to addresses all over the country and the world, and to the best of our knowledge, we've not had anyone say, I'm not going to cash the check because I feel like I should have gotten more.
Thank you, Mr. It is really remarkable at such a low cost and that it was actually completed. I mean, there are programs out there that have not reached completion yet. Any further questions of Mr. Stevens? Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Before we go to Sally, is Mayor Whitaker on yet? No? Okay. Sally Sadler, then, please.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and others that are interested in ARTRs. I am Sally Sadler, the legislative liaison for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And I want to thank you today for hearing Senate Bill 77 to extend the ARTRs. At the department, we're excited about the partnership that we do have with ARTRs. As you know, state economic development isn't just a top-down function, and it's not just a grassroots local function, but we think it takes that partnership working together. And we believe the ARTRs are uniquely poised to coordinate and ensure that we've got a coordinated economic development strategy around the state. We are, as a State Department, very pleased with the work that they have done to create their performance-based system. I think it helps clarify some of the unique characteristics of the ARTR programs, because they're not one size fits all in every community. And as you can see, they take on the flavor of their community and fill in the niches where they are there and work with other partner organizations when they are there as well. With that, I would just urge you to support Senate Bill 77 and let these good people go home and get back to work and do what they do best. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Sadler. I appreciate that. Any questions? If not, thank you very much. Sorry we missed Mayor Whitaker, but I'm sure he would he does support the program. So, Senator Stedman?
Well, the only question I have, and I think it's a good program, is our concern is the reach and the repeal date out to 2013, if we shouldn't look at bringing that date in to help accountability through the years.
That's a good question. And maybe if we could ask Ms. Ayers to come back, because I know she's knowledgeable about this. It has been on a year-by-year basis, and the bill in front of us, Senate Bill 77, is really an eight-year extension. Could you make some comments on why you think that's an issue?
Well, primarily, we used 8 years, or asked for 8 years, was... we understood that legislative budget and audit had indicated that anything short of an eight-year cycle was not cost-effective for the state, that this level of review. And I guess that in my way of thinking, you always have the annual budget process as a discipline tool for any program that you think is not performing. So we really sort of just went with that LBNA recommendation. The last time that we were reauthorized 2 years ago, Senator Wilken did have some questions about performance that I think we adequately answered for him, and I think that the tier formula was in response to some questions that he had for us. And so we got short-cycled this last time with a two-year reauthorization. And, you know, we'd certainly look to, you know, your leadership on that issue, but I think more than anything it was that LBNA recommendation that we had heard that 8 years was what was cost-effective for the state.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Senator Stebbins, further comments or thoughts on that issue?
I think my personal opinion is 8 years is too long.
Thank you.
And I'd like to have us consider maybe a two-year extension, go out to 07. And if it turns out under two-year extensions that at some point they should be stretched out, you know, we can stretch them out in the future. You know, I don't think it's such a burden to come in every couple of years or so, but I just hate to extend programs out that far. And even though this one I'm very comfortable with, and in particular some areas are better at performance than others, and I think it's nice for me in that Southeast Conference ranks very high in their performance, so I'm very comfortable with the area, you know, with that area. But I just think an extension out to 13 is a little excessive.
Thank you. And I think that certainly that's an issue, I believe, with finance, and I know they have expressed some concern about 8 years, and certainly an issue they want to talk about. Any further comments?
Mr. Chairman, if there were going to be, that sounded like a suggestion that we allow the Finance Committee to address the date of the extension, but if there were to be an amendment offered, I'd have to ask for Pat Davidson, the legislative auditor, to join us and talk to us about her recommendation. I know she's a highly respected professional around here and makes those recommendations. I don't know if she's available to us now or if we would send the bill on as is and have the discussion further down the process. So whatever your
right
desire.
Well, that's a good point, Senator Ellis. My assumption was, Senator Seven, that finance would look closely at the total number of years. And as you said on finance, I'm sure he will be very deeply involved in that. So we could either move it out with 8 years, knowing that finance is going to deal with it, or we could take the time to talk with staff and look at changing those number of years.
Well, if I could, Mr. Chairman, I think just to expedite things today, you know, I don't have an issue with moving it forward, and then we can, when it comes to the next committee of referral, go into that whole area of extension time, and then deal with it later.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I don't think it would be worth holding up the bill today because there is another stop along the way.
Exactly.
And, Mr. Chairman, that's my preference. I only wanted Pat Davidson to come if we were going to debate an amendment. But I'd like to expedite the bill if possible.
Thank you. I think we're all in agreement then that we'd like to move it ahead and let the finance deal with the heavy lifting here on the issue of a number of years. Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to speak to us on this issue? Or have we talked to everyone that wanted to speak? I think we have. Okay, very well. I'd request a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the bill proceed on to the next committee of referral, Senate Finance, with individual recommendations and any accompanying fiscal notes.
There's an attached fiscal note. Thank you, Senator Ellis. Any objection to that? Very well. We'll do that. And I certainly appreciate Senator Ellis, Senator Stebbins, as well as Representatives Newman and Cisna, and everyone in the room. Thank you for being here.